Please be seated. I am no farmer. I'm not even a gardener. As I have said in previous sermons, I do not have a green thumb, nor was gardening a hobby that I can remember anyone in my immediate family having. My mom has a thing for potted plants to beautify her front porch of her Jackson home, the home I grew up in. And I have fond memories of her spending time on the front porch with soiled hands and the green water hose watering each plant and talking to them. The odor of water mixing with the hot soil is still one of my favorite smells. But for me, the closest thing I got to gardening was mowing the lawn, or picking blueberries, or buying flowers at a local florist. Well, there was this one time that my wife asked me to water her zucchinis when she was at when she went out of town, and they died. But I am intrigued by the process. I love to hear about people spending their day in the garden, nurturing the soil, planting plants and flowers, eating fresh out of their very own garden. And just this past week, while leading a retreat of middle schoolers, I got to share this experience. I took a group of middle schoolers to learn about the history of Seattle that's not always in the history books. We went to the Northwest African American Museum, the Wing Luke Museum, and the Burke Museum. And we also traveled to the neighborhoods that these people call their homes. Sprinkled through the day of museum visiting and visiting neighborhoods, we peppered in these special occasions, these special activities. And one of these days, we connected with Brian Sellers Peterson and spent an afternoon working in the urban garden located outside of Leffler House. Our task was simple, and the youth picked up on it quickly. Prepare this bed for soil, pull the weeds, leave the plants. The plants are not quite ready to be harvested. Chop them into the soil so they provide nutrients. Here's a shovel, a rake, and a hoe. Get to work. At the end of our day, we took home some of the produce we harvested and made a salad to go with our frozen lasagna dinner. It was an experience some of the youth had never had before. But before the work began, and while we were still receiving instructions, I was still stuck on this idea of weeds versus produce. I mean, if there were carrots or big heads of iceberg lettuce and dandelions, I think I'd be able to pick out the produce versus the weeds. But it all looked alike to me. It all looked green. It all looked edible and inedible at the same time. It looked nutritious and possibly poisonous. It all looked like arugula or dandelion leaves. In my head, what I really wanted to tell Brian was, remember the gospel reading for this Sunday. Jesus said in the parable, let them all grow together. I don't know if that was going to get me out of the work. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells the crowd another parable. Now picture the scene. Here's Jesus sitting in a boat because the crowd is large, and the crowd is on shore gathered around him listening. And they're gathered in front of him, and he tells them many things in parables. The reading for this morning we pick up after Jesus tells the parable of a sower, you know, the one where the seed is scattered on many types of ground. But today we hear the parable of the weeds. Seeds all sown on good ground. And then the enemy comes in at night and plants the weeds among the wheat while everyone was sleeping. And instead of telling the servants to pull them up, he allows them to grow together, to be pulled and separated by the harvester. This didn't help me. I was still stuck on this idea of weeds. So I decided to go to a trusted source to learn more about them, Google. And after some searching, I found an article from Penn State agronomist Dwight D. Leigenfelter entitled, Introduction to Weeds, What Are Weeds and Why Do We Care? And he began the article by defining weeds. And here's what he said. Weeds are a plant out of place and not intentionally sown. Weeds are a plant growing where it is not wanted. They're plants whose virtues have not yet been discovered. Plants that are competitive, persistent, pernicious, and interfere negatively with human activity. Weeds are plants whose undesirable qualities outweigh their good points. And he goes on to talk about the characteristics and the benefits of some weeds. I found this list very subjective. And if we take these definitions and place them squarely against the scripture reading for today, it is not hard to figure out why, through the parable, Jesus is telling us to leave the weeding to God. In fact, Jesus says it very plainly when he says, "Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat." Jesus is clearly telling us to leave that process alone. We are not fully equipped. We do not have the master plan to the kingdom. And we have a tendency to act in the ways of the flesh and not the spirit. And while we are invited into kingdom building, God is the architect. God is the master gardener. Now, it's helpful to have a little background information on Matthew's gospel as well. Matthew's gospel is said to be a bridge between Judaism, as it was known at the time, and what we have come to recognize as the Christian church. The author of Matthew is reinforcing a rootedness in the Jewishness of Jesus. Much of the gospel reminds the reader or the hearer that these events were to fulfill what was said in Hebrew scriptures, scriptures that they would have all been very aware of. And today's parable also falls into a great litany of parables where Jesus explains the kingdom of God. And in patching all these kingdom parables together, he reveals its complexity. He reveals the mystery. Mystery meaning we don't and probably won't ever get the full picture. Now let's be honest. If we look back at history, we do not have a great track record of separating the wheat from the weeds. Nazi Germany, American slavery, civil rights, Japanese internment, marriage equality, travel bans. I can think of many instances in my own life where I have haphazardly separated wheat from the weeds. I have a hard enough time defining the kingdom or the reign of God. So how am I going to define who enters it? Thomas Keating, a Trappist monk, priest, and architect of centering prayer, talks about parables and the kingdom or reign of God in his book, The Mystery of Christ, in this way. He says, "The parables of Jesus seek to help others into their own experience of the reign of God and to draw from that experience their own way of life. In order to understand Jesus' teachings, we need to understand the nature of what he calls the reign of God. The reign of God does not consist of a place, a form of government, or even the rule of God over actions and interior life. It is not an organization where we have to fit into. And it generally introduces itself by an event that changes our lives." He goes on to say that the intrusion into one's life is how the reign of God manifests itself. allowing one's life to be turned upside down, which requires a change of heart. For me, this begins with letting go of who and what I call wheat and who and what I consider weeds. This letting go is not about joining hands and singing kumbaya. It's not about sharing a Pepsi and a laugh. This is about being in dialogue, in proximity to those we consider weeds, trusting and knowing that the other is a beloved child of God and worthy of that title. It's about engaging in the hard stuff of life with the other. And this would definitely turn my world upside down, because at every turn, I am prompted, and we are prompted to take sides, to play into this dichotomy of right and wrong, good or evil, in or out, wheat or weed. Now, sometimes it's easy because of others' actions, their appearance, and sometimes even their politics. But it is never that cleanly bifurcated. And I'm reminded of a quote from Nadia Boltz-Weber, a Lutheran pastor in Southern California. In her book, Pastrix, she says, "Every time we draw a line between us and others, Jesus is always on the other side." And he was. And through his life and ministry, he has called us into something more, something countercultural, something that turns our life upside down. He has called us to sit and pray and eat and grow together, the wheat and the weeds alike. I wonder who was on the other side of the line for you. I wonder who gets the label of weed in your life. Amen.